It probably goes back to that skill he had managing large enterprises and in planning, which he had done throughout his career. Ike had also worked on the original cross-channel invasion plans in 1942. It was called Operation Roundup. So we did develop plans, and Ike's briefing to senior leaders while developing those plans were another thing that brought him to Roosevelt and the attention of the upper echelon. That was his talent. Eisenhower had a very good eye for looking at a large organization or enterprise and seeing how it operated and seeing where the problems were and could foresee how to fix those things. And that made him the perfect candidate for that job.
After 70 years, I think a lot of us, especially those of us who aren't old enough to remember, lose sight of just what a massive and complex operation this was. Can you give us a sense of just how many moving parts there were in this D-Day invasion?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. I mean, just in terms of personnel, there were more than 150,000 troops. On June 6th, of course, there were then more than 1 million to follow within weeks. There were more than 12,000 aircraft, 7,000 sea vessels. Then, of course, just all the logistics that it takes to support that. And so you're just talking these almost incomprehensible volumes of, bullets and bombs and food and, every bit of equipment that you can imagine for all these hundreds of thousands and eventually millions of men that would invade the continent. World War II, it's been said, was the largest event in human history, at least in recorded history, and this invasion was a very big part of that.
Take us back to that moment in time in late May, early June. How does Ike come to the decision that June 6th is the day for the invasion?
Well, they knew based on the moon, which they needed for the airborne drops, and the tidal conditions that they needed in order to land the troops on Normandy. It was a pretty small window. In fact, for June, it turned out to be June 5th, 6th, and 7th. And if they could not make one of those three dates, they would have to wait until June 19th. And they knew that the longer they waited, the readier the Germans would be. And also, the longer they waited, the less time they would have to campaign in France during summer, before they got bogged down with the rain of the fall and then, of course, in winter. So they began meeting June 3rd. They started meeting twice a day, usually at 4 in the morning and at 9:30 at night, just to get a weather report and to try to decide when and if they could launch the invasion. And finally, they got the news that it looked like there would be a tiny window, maybe 36 hours starting Tuesday, where they could actually launch the invasion. And so it all came down to Ike's faith in that weather forecast. And then the decision did come down to Ike, whether to stay or to go. And he made the decision to launch it on June 6th. Had they waited until June 19th, on June 19th, there was a major record-setting storm that would have prohibited them from launching the invasion. And so had they waited, they probably could not have attacked Europe in the summer of 1944. And it all came down on Ike's shoulders to carry that burden and make that call.
And he did make the call. Do we know exactly what he said? Did he say, let's do it? Did he turn to an assistant and say,
well, that's
it's
a
on?
Matter of a lot of debate. And I found, about 15 different versions of what Ike said. None of the eyewitnesses can agree. I have found 6 versions from Eisenhower himself, all of which differed. And it just kind of strikes me that here you have, maybe if not the biggest decision of the 20th century, one of the biggest decisions of the 20th century, and yet there's not a single memorable quote. There's no, I shall return, or damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. But Eisenhower was not the kind of guy who would, prepare a statement beforehand to try to immortalize his own words, for history or posterity. So I think his character is probably another reason that there's not a single quote that comes out of that great moment.
Ike Eisenhower wasn't really known as a great public speaker. He did, however, prepare a message for the troops. Tell us about that.
He did. They prepared an order of the day, as it was called, just encouraging all the Allied troops on D-Day. And it was read. Eisenhower recorded the message, and it was read and broadcast over the loudspeakers of the ships.
soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. You will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely.
It's always easy for all of us to look back in history, and it just almost looks like things were predetermined. But of course, the actors of that time don't know that. And, you know, this was a real roll of the dice for the Allies. You know, it was a very hard-fought battle. The Germans were a very determined foe, and history could have easily turned out otherwise.
The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking.
Do you suppose that Ike himself had a high level of confidence? What was he thinking about the chances of success?
I think he was confident in terms of the planning they'd done and the training and preparation of the troops. It was the weather that was weighing most heavily on him, of course. But he did prepare a statement in case of failure, taking sole responsibility if the invasion failed. And most of us who work here at the Eisenhower Library probably consider it, you know, our single most important item. And Eisenhower is always a very cool customer. But you can see, again, harking back to that in case of failure note, he misdates it July 5th. And Eisenhower, always such a precise man, I think of that slip of July 5th instead of June 5th really tells you a lot about his state of mind at that time.
Must have been thinking of other things.
I think so. Exactly. And then the agony, of course, for Eisenhower is once he makes that decision, there's not much he can do about it for the next 24 or 36 hours. You know, so it's back to his tent to smoke more cigarettes, to read more Westerns, to try to get his mind off this. But the weight of the world, again, was on his shoulders, and he made that decision, and then he just had to wait to see how it was all going to turn out.